When we say America first, what we mean is that we need America first. We need to worry about what's going on here. That doesn't mean that we're anti-immigration. That doesn't mean that we're racist or xenophobic. That's not what that means. It means we need to address American issues first.
Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with my partner, Mike Sparazza. So, Mike, let's start with this. Israel is ready for ground troops to go into Gaza. And thank goodness Joe Biden is heading to Israel.
I'm sure he'll be a real help. I'm sure he'll be able to change everything that's going on over there. I mean, all kidding aside, I don't know why America thinks that this is a good... I get the show of solidarity. I get that whole thing, but... sending Joe Biden to do anything right now is a bad idea for America, and it's a bad idea for whoever he's going to help. I personally, Mike, would have kept him way the hell out of there. That's just me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. We don't need him as the president of the United States to physically be there.
Yeah.
However, there have been times where we've said, why won't the president go down to the border, for instance? Why won't Kamala go to the border?
That's another question. Yeah.
Why won't they actually go witness the things going on? So, in a way, I mean, I don't have a problem with him going. I just wonder, and here'd be my question, is it even going to be helpful? Is it going to make a difference? Because the weakness that he and our country have now displayed for several years now, right? 3 years running. Soon as Donald Trump left office, we became a weaker, more vulnerable country under Joe Biden. There was just no question about that. I don't know how anyone can say anything differently about that. So is it even helpful at this point, or is it too little too late?
Here's my problem, though, Mike. You brought up the border, and let's talk about that for a second. So Joe Biden still actually has not been to the real border, Mike. Right. Like, yeah, he went down there about 600 miles away. Like, why is it that that's important? Mm-hmm. Right. And again, I get it with Israel. I'm not suggesting it's not important to go to Israel. My point is that why is it important for all of our politicians to go everywhere else other than the problem areas of America? That bothers me. And I wanted to start there, Mike, because I've made that point on Twitter. And I'm going to make it again. That is a problem for me, that American leaders find it more beneficial to go to other places when America is truly breaking from within.
Mm-hmm.
And the border is an example of that.
That's a huge example.
Or Philly.
And it's now getting worse. So the things happening overseas are actually making the border issue even more and more critical, right? We're seeing all sorts of what they call special alien type designations. These people coming was like in the single digits. Now it's into the triple digits of the special aliens that are really the ones that you don't want here.
Yep.
And they're making their way here. I mean, to me, it's just laughable because we've been so weak. We've been such a waffler on, are we supporting them? Are we not supporting them? I mean, they haven't supported, this administration hasn't supported Israel, especially since Benjamin Netanyahu got back into office.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's such mixed signals that you end up just getting a whole mixed up policy, right? It's all like we don't want to appease any one group. So what happens? You're really not helping anyone. So that's my problem with this.
Mike, Hochul's going over there, she says now.
Right.
Like to me, again.
Yeah, because New York's in fine shape.
Right. Like, can we get priorities right? Like, Kathy, whether Kathy Hochul goes to Israel or not, nothing will change. So can we just let people like the president maybe go? Like, that, again, as much as I'm complaining about Joe going over there because he hasn't been to our border, I get the American president or Anthony Blinken or whoever to go over there. That's what their job is. Kathy, you're the governor of a failed state. What are you going to do over there besides take photos and put their flag in your Twitter bio? Really, what are you going to do? Tell us.
She's adding it to her resume.
Right.
She's going to say, look at me. Look at me. I was actually involved in international matters as governor of New York.
Yeah.
Right.
That's going to be really helpful. I'm sure there's going to be a lot accomplished with Kathy Hochul going on there.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Senator Cotton, he believes that since Americans were killed and there are still missing Americans, that we should be considering boots on the ground. An Israeli official said if Iran gets involved, then he believes that the U.S. will actually become engaged in this war, far beyond, I guess, putting these massive aircraft carriers, you know, nearby. So what do you think, Mike? I mean, Glenn Wiggle, what, yesterday said, you know, here we are, World War III, and it's starting to feel like it.
This American boots on the ground in the Middle East or in Israel or in Ukraine or wherever is the exact opposite of what Americans should be pushing for, right? And I like Tom Cotton, Mike, and I get where he's coming from. That broke my heart for the Israeli people, for the innocent Palestinian people, and for the Americans, and there were some Chinese there, there were some Europeans there that were killed, right? This is really sad stuff, and I'm not trying to sound insensitive, but the answer cannot always just be get American boots on the ground, because I'm going to tell you right now, if we go to war with Iran, a lot of American servicemen and women are going to lose their lives, and same thing in Ukraine, right? Going head to head with Russia, I don't think the answer, Mike, is just let's get American boots on the ground. Can we get a president that can maybe work deals and maybe understand how to, you know, debate, battle, whatever you want to say with other world leaders instead of having to just send American young men and women of our American service teams in there? That just doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
That's really the sad part. He can't. Right. He can't negotiate.
Right. Of course.
He goes up in front of the microphone and says, you just better not do this, right? You better watch out. Things are going to change if anything further happens. If you escalate, watch it. The big guy. The big guy's here. And I'm watching, right? Yeah. I'm watching you.
Joey.
He's just, it's all so shallow. It's just, again, I've often referred to this as kind of almost like the bad parenting.
Yeah.
Like, you better not take the car again, and you better not smash it up. Oh, what does the kid do? He takes the car again, he smashes it up. Then the keys are right back there hanging on the key.
This time is the last time. This is it.
This is it. I mean, we just got that whole car fixed up again. Yeah. Here are the keys, by the way.
Yeah.
But if it happens this time, you'll never drive again. Yeah. And then what do you hear? You know, cars bashed again. That's bad parenting. Never, ever, ever holding to your statements, right? Never holding to them. And that's Joe Biden, and that's the whole administration. So it really comes down to, is it incompetence? Is it intentional? Like, does it come down to, they don't want the border fixed, Mike. They want total chaos to rain down upon all of us so they can then come and say, look at how bad this is. You think that guy across the aisle is going to fix it? You think that bad orange man named Trump is going to fix anything? He can't even help himself. He's got all these, you know, indictments and galore all over the place. You need us. You know, we need to bring, what do they say, peace and
unity,
you know, unity back to this
transparency
country.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like their playbook. Let things just go completely into chaos and to hell. And now here we are on the world stage, and it really is going to hell in the Middle East.
This is where the messaging, too, like, when people say, oh, America first, you guys are just, you know, KKK members. No, no, we're not. When we say America first, what we mean is that we need America first. We need to worry about what's going on here. That doesn't mean that we're anti-immigration. That doesn't mean that we're racist or xenophobic. That's not what that means. It means we need to address American issues first. Rising crime. Right? Rapid growth of overdose deaths and suicides in our country, right? That means your crime is through the roof. That means your border crossing is through the roof. That means you have, you know, again, it doesn't matter. It's not just violent crime either, right? Like, there's, you know, assaults, there's drug dealing, there's murder, there's rape. I mean, there's a lot of different crimes. Like, the looting and stuff like that, that's not necessarily, I'm going to put this in air quotes, according to California, a violent crime. However, it's mass destruction on businesses across America, right? Like, it's kind of a big deal. So we need to address those things personally, Mike, before we do anything else, because it sounds great in theory. Help Ukraine, help Israel, help this country, help that country, help these people, help those people. But if you don't actually have structure in your own it's like business, Mike. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to grow this thing as big as we can. Okay, great. How are we going to do that? Well, just write as many accounts as you can. Okay, great. Then what? Well, it doesn't matter. You just wrote all the accounts. No, it does matter, because then you crumble from within and your business goes out of business, right?
Yeah.
You can only sell or service so much before your business crumbles. That's what we're doing. We're trying to sell and service a million different nations, and we can't do our own self.
True. No doubt. And I want to ask you this. When have we heard this this strategy? So Representative Tlaib's top campaign
one of our favorites.
Fundraiser. Oh, yeah. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's just a fountain of compassion, this one. Yeah. Top campaign fundraiser accuses Israel of wanting to ethnically cleanse Palestinians. So, Mike, am I wrong to believe that's exactly what the radical Islamist terrorists want to do? They say it. Death to Israel, death to America.
Yep.
They wipe innocent people out. They snuff them out.
They want to kill Jews.
They want to kill Jews. They want to eradicate all Jews.
Yeah.
And here's top campaign fundraiser for Tlaib saying, oh, you got to watch those Israelis. They want to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians, meaning wipe them away.
Yeah.
Isn't this, it's exactly what the opposition does. They will do things and then say, that's what he's doing. That's what they're doing. They're doing it. Like, here he is saying, this is exactly what they're trying to do. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not chanting death to all Palestinians.
No.
They're not. They're saying, stop firing rockets where our Iron Dome had to intercept. And now you found a way into our country and into the Gaza Strip, and you killed all sorts of Israelis, innocent people. That's why Israel is doing what they're doing right now. And you could argue all you want about settlements and the strife between those two groups, but this has nothing to do with just Israel saying, we need to eliminate all Palestinians. I mean, that's not what this is about.
No, and I I'm not going to act like I'm a Middle East expert by any chance or by any stretch of the imagination. I go to, trusted sources when I talk to stuff like this, but mm-hmm. here's what I can tell you. If this was going on where Israelis were just targeting Palestinian people
every day, unprovoked,
right. and trying to ethnically cleanse them, we would know about it because we know about that stuff when it goes on across the world, right? We hear about these things. I don't think that's what's happening, and I think it's very unfair to say that's what's happening and put that in people's brains. As you can see, Mike, they've done a nice job of this, the left, of putting this in college kids' brains, because across the country, college kids are protesting and essentially, making excuses for Hamas. And to me, again, we can play both sides. You can be pro-Palestinian people, and you can be pro-Israeli people. You can be pro-both, and with also saying, Hamas is evil, we need to get rid of them. Right. I'm going to use us as an example, Mike, with Iraq and Afghanistan. I never thought that every Iraqi or Afghani person was a bad person. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, of course, there's innocent people living there. The terrorist cells are evil. Right. Osama bin Laden's evil. Right. I mean, those types of people are evil. Right. But that doesn't mean they're all evil. Look, there's evil Americans, folks. We see them every day, right? Mm-hmm. There's evil in every society. And to me, that's what drives me nuts about this is we're making this into like you have to play one side. You don't. You don't need to play both one side. You can play both sides, and when they come to the middle and say, we need to get rid of Hamas, and we need to start over. Like, let's get rid of them, and then we'll talk after that.
Intellectually, it just takes a little more work to say, okay, I can actually disavow what I just saw and still stick to my stance on this other bigger issue, right? But not a lot of people have intellect. I mean, a lot of them, they just use this as an excuse. It's like looters.
Yep.
Looters, they don't care what's going on politically. They don't care what's going on in a community. All they know is every 4 to 6 months, it's going to be my turn. I will be there with the sledgehammers. I will get my loot. I will get what's coming to me. They don't care what's going on, right? That's not intellectual. What's intellectual is saying, wait, everyone else who actually depends upon those stores and banks and pharmacies and all that, we've got to do something about this. And what is it? It's law enforcement. It's getting good leaders to make sure there's protection of communities. But this is the same kind of thing. You're dealing with people where they say the ends justifies the means.
Yep.
They do not care. Yep. If there's been a little bit of injustice going on and they've been standing up for that over the years and they can't win, then they're happy to see Hamas go in and just wipe out thousands of people innocently, unprovoked, so that they can now go ahead and parade in these these inner city streets, New York City, probably Chicago, Philadelphia, I'm sure, and just cause chaos. And now they're scaring the daylights out of so many Jewish kids, Jewish people. I was listening to some talk radio earlier, and some of it was about You know, so we're supposed to be really up in arms about blacks being mistreated and gays being mistreated. And we should never, ever, ever, you know, be, you know, judgmental, violent toward those people. What happened where suddenly are Jewish people like exempt now from that? Like you're allowed to
mistreat them,
to mistreat them, be violent against them. You're allowed to do that maybe against Asian people. Like what happened? You know, I thought mistreatment of anybody was wrong, but now it's getting really ugly now. Now you can choose who you want to be nasty to.
Well, and if it fits a cause, right?
Yep.
That's like the new thing. And look, I'm going to say this. For those out there that are like, well, you guys were, you know, not as hard on Russia as you are on Hamas, because that's the thing we're hearing right now, right? Listen, I'm not pro-Russia and pro-Putin. I think he's evil, and I think he's trying to do damage to Ukraine, which in the end is going to do damage to America and other places. But my problem is not look if Ukraine can go defend themselves, that be my guest, right? What I'm my problem with the Ukraine Russia conflict is America will pay for everything. That's my problem with that conflict, right? My problem with this conflict is going to be the same thing. It's going to be like, okay, here's your allies. America, get in there, get boots on the ground, give money. Give it. Like, we just can't fight every war. And by the way, as Glenn Wiggle pointed out, China will be invading Taiwan soon. Mm-hmm. So America's going to be fighting wars on three different soils, Mike.
Yep.
That is not a winning formula for America. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for folks, but that's a losing formula. We have to, again, have a leader that can maybe get in there and debate a little bit and figure this stuff out and make America first decisions, or we need to pick and choose our battles. You can't pick every battle, and that's what we're doing right now. We're picking every single one.
And they're bad at all of them.
And we're bad at all of them. Yes, yes. We're not good at any of them. And here's the other thing, Mike. This war that's about to happen in Gaza and Israel, this is going to be dangerous. It's going to be bloody, and it's going to be disgusting, this war. They're going to have to go into tunnels. There's going to be – I was listening to David Bellamy on Fox. There's going to be booby-trapped bombs everywhere. You know, there's going to be a lot of lives lost in this war, both on the Hamas side and on the Israeli, you know, IDF side. It's scary, right? And this is not, again, America fought this war already in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last 20 years. Maybe I'm just being, you know, too pro-America. That's a problem for people these days. You can't be too pro-America, but I don't want our young men and women going over there and getting slaughtered. I love our country, and I want our country to fix our country, and then we'll worry about helping everybody else, because America, I just don't want to see anybody more American, you know, blood on soil. I just don't.
No, not over something where there's really no compromise, right?
Right.
You want, you know, you've got people who treasure life, and you have people who just don't care about life at all. They will wipe away their own people in the interest of themselves, and this belief that they will someday find, you know, joy and harmony with Allah, right? I mean, it's just extreme. That's what they say. They call these people extremists. That's why. They don't care about human life, so they'll hide behind their own people, and that's, you know, really, you know, you think about this, how long has it been happening where Hamas could embed themselves into the Gaza area? Like, I mean, it really isn't them. It's more who has funded it, who has allowed this to happen. And it's Iran, right? Yep. It's Iran. It's Syria. It's all these countries that harbor these terrorists and allow them to build these tunnels and arm themselves. And they fund them to go and create chaos.
300 miles, Mike, of tunnels underground.
It's like unfathomable.
Under schools and hospitals, right? Yep. Like, I mean, again, just imagine if we had something like that going on in America, we'd be like, no, no, you're not digging under our schools. And like, yeah, I agree with you. At some point, too, like, we have to hold the people accountable. Look, I don't want a war against Iran. I just talked about that. I'm not wanting a war. But Mike, at some point, you know, I think Trump did this well. Many other leaders haven't. We need to be tough on the bad guys.
Absolutely.
And stop playing nice in the sandbox like the Republicans try and do in Congress. Like, if we're just nice, maybe we'll get along. Nope. Doesn't work that way. I promise. Right. You will never make friends with evil. I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think what you got to do is what Trump did, which is we have to have respect for each other, so we can work together to make sure that we don't have a nuclear war.
Right.
That's how you work. That doesn't mean you, when Trump says they're smart, like he said about Hamas, His point about that was these people are evil and they know what they're doing. What you cannot do is just act like, oh, well, they're bad people, so they're dumb. They're not dumb, right? The attack that they just did last week was very well thought out, and they caused a lot of havoc. I hate to say that because it's disgusting, but they caused a lot of death and destruction, Mike. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that by just being an idiot, right? I mean, they knew what they were doing.
They caused poverty, death, and destruction amongst those Palestinians that are trying to just live peaceful lives because they take all the resources away. They don't care if they have clean water. They don't care if they have electricity. They only care about embedding themselves under that area to fight and kill Jewish people, right? And death to Israel, death to Americans. So this is going on in Washington, Mike. Literally as we speak, a House vote for Jim Jordan. So lost the first vote. He needs 218 votes to become the speaker. Here are my three questions to you. The first one, will Jim Jordan be approved, yes or no?
I don't even know because I was listening before we started today, and it was during his failed first attempt. And they're like, well, now that there's rumors that people are going to switch off of him now. I'm like, oh, here we go. So the Keeping Up with the Kardashian show at the House of Representatives will be a another, you know, I'm sure 15 rounds of this. I know that's going to be your question, Mike. How many is it going to be?
Yeah, is it an over or under?
I have no idea.
If he doesn't get approved at all, then it's probably under 15 votes.
But I just wonder, let's just talk about how many votes till we get an actual speaker. Like, who are the options? That's why I don't know. If Jim Jordan's not your answer, Gates already said he's not doing it. McCarthy was back on the table, but you're not going to get the votes there.
Steve Scalise, he backed out.
He backed out.
He didn't get enough votes.
Can
we just talk about how gross and disgusting this process is? Because let's just say you're a for or a yay for Jim Jordan. I say no, I'm a nay. And now they're going to try and convince me to become a yay. Just think about the conversations they're having.
What can I give you?
Hey, Flick, come on. Yeah. What is it going to take? Yeah. Huh? What is it? What do you need? Do you got anything going on back in your district, in your state? Come on, we'll find some money for you. Like, how gross is that?
Yep.
You're not, you know, you basically got a bribe, you got a con people into voting for you. Hey, come on, Hayflick, come on. What committee do you want to be in? What do you want to do? Come on, you are a teacher. Come on, you're a financial advisor. You want to be on something that has to do with us spending money? We'll sit you at the table. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what they're doing, right? Yeah. They're literally, you know, or, hey, how much do you need into your campaign? When are you getting reelected? Hey, come on, we got friends. Let's talk. Like, that's how disgusting this is, really, when it comes down to it. Because anybody they do convince, I guarantee you, watch 3 to 6 months later, these people are like, oh, suddenly they were placed on a pretty good committee, right? Yep. Now they're they're leading the charge on X, Y, or Z, right? Oh, it's just so disgusting.
Well,
to me.
And look, I mean, we did this with Kevin McCarthy. We made side deals, and I say we, not me and you, but Republicans did all these things, right? And then Kevin McCarthy lasted for about 8 months, and then everybody was sick and tired of the shit, right?
Right.
Like that's where we are, and that's, again, I will say this, to quote John Fetterman, they're not sending their best and brightest to Congress, right?
Right.
And he's exactly right. This is part of the problem. You have people in Congress, both sides of the aisle. I'm not just picking on Republicans or Democrats, both sides of the aisle.
Right.
We're getting people, Mike, that are just either not trustworthy, they're not powerful enough, and I don't mean that powerful like, you know, wielding a wand here. I mean,
right.
There's just nothing about them that you have confidence in, right? They're just, they have nothing to them. Or they're power hungry, you know, trying to enrich themselves scumbags, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we have in politics right now. I'm not surprised this is very hard. Like, this seems like it should be hard because there's not many options.
Right.
I mean, this probably is difficult, which is why I've pushed for Trump, even though the problem with Trump is it's such a short-term problem, or a solution, I should say, to the problem. So I don't know what you do. I really don't know who ends up coming out.
I have one more thing to say that is really just stupidity to me. So if you're in Congress and you have to vote, it should require you to say yes or no, or like they do, yay, nay, right? Take a side. You were voted into this position by the people to actually pick a side. Have some conviction, for God's sake, over something. No, know what they can do, Mike? They can say, present.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They can simply say, I'm here.
Yep.
but I will not pick a side.
Yep.
And that's exactly how McCarthy got put in, because a whole number of people, instead of saying yes to him, they just started to vote present,
yep.
changes the ratios and all that stuff, and he eventually could declare himself a winner. Is that the weakest, most pathetic thing you can think of? Just say present.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah, you go full Switzerland on it. Like, oh, I'm not going to give an answer.
I know. I mean, give me a break. That's like, yeah. I don't know what my constituency is going to say. You know what I would say if any of my legislators voted present? I'd say, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Well, you need someone to stand up with conviction. Either say yes or say no, for God's sake. Not, I'm here, but I just intellectually, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what the consequences are going to be if I say yes. Oh, what if I say no? Are people going to not like me? Like, that's not why you're there. And so anybody who's saying present, I'd love to hear an example of a present vote where it was actually like legit. Like, was it meant to? I mean, I don't even know.
Here's my problem at the end of the day. This is what the state of American politics is. The show, like I said, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show that we watch in there when they're voting, and then, you know, somebody will be like, Hakeem Jeffries, and it's like this eruption, and then it'll be like, oh, whatever guy, and then they're like, oh. Like, it's just such a joke. It's such a joke start to finish, right? And every time I watch these, the first ones I really watched of this was the McCarthy stuff, the 15 rounds. And I remember on a Friday night, because that's when he was elected speaker,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in bed with my wife, and I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, what right. is happening, right? This is what American politics is now. It's a freaking show. It's a Hollywood show, and that's a problem, because what politics is supposed to be is for people like you and me, for the mm-hmm. listeners, for that. It's not about who says something to get a social media clip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, like AOC today, Mike, I'm just going down a mm-hmm. rabbit hole, but this is an AOC tweet from today. This is classic. let me just pull it up here. This is my point about the problem with social media.
Right.
AOC says, where did she go? Oh, my gosh. One day ago. I tweet
while
too
you're,
much
no,
now.
No, keep looking. This is what I would say. Jim Jordan, I don't know if it's his persona. I don't know if it's legit. I like him. I like any time I've listened to him. I think he would actually bring some leadership to that office. I don't know Kevin McCarthy. He did not seem to be a guy that would. So I do hope Jim Jordan actually gets in there and starts. I want him to start kicking some ass. I want him to start saying, you know, enough. The Democrats stick together no matter what, through thick and thin, right? They could look
stupid.
Stop
being nice.
Stop being nice. They're not nice. We're not going to be nice anymore. You better follow me. Get on board, or you're not going to be in this position for very much longer, right? You're going to get voted out. So that's what I'm hoping with Jim Jordan.
So this, just to go back to my AOC point, like, so she puts this tweet out this morning. If you don't want Jim Jordan to be speaker, make sure you contact your rep today about it, especially if you're in Westchester, Hudson Valley, Catskills, Long Island, and beyond. Okay. AOC, your district is a shit show, right?
Right.
You're part of New York City's districts, mm-hmm. right? Like, New York City is a crime-riddled hellhole right now. Can you stop worrying about everything else and worry about your own area that's been a disaster since you've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's the stuff that drives me nuts. Everybody wants to get the tweet mm-hmm. out, the social
that's
media
right.
clip, the I'm going to yell at this camera that I set up right at my desk.
Yep.
No, go worry about the people that are literally struggling because you suck at your job. I hate to be like that, but that's what it comes down to. Kathy Hochul, you're a terrible governor, and your people are struggling because you're terrible at your job.
Yeah.
AOC, you're a terrible rep. Your people are struggling because you're a terrible rep at your job. Like, this is not hard. I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's easy to tweet, and it appeals to, like, the lowest common denominator of the people that she attracts, right? The people that are all just simply emotional. They're all the ones that don't have any clue what the policies really are. They're the ones getting something from AOC. So that's who she wants to appeal to, right? It's so easy to do that, right? And it's so much harder to actually fix the district you actually are supposed to be legislating over, right?
Sometimes I wonder why I follow politics. It's like you guys, You guys do this with the Bills
for punishment.
Sometimes. I know. You and Lomas, we always joke, like, you guys, you know, they'll be struggling, you'll be freaking out, and then after the game, you'll be like, never doubt.
Never lost faith.
And now, but this is how it is with Powell. Like, I never gain the faith back. Like, that, it's always a letdown, right? Like, it's the Bills for the last 20 years, but we never got Josh Allen. That's what politics is right now. I don't know why I care so much, but it just kills me.
Well, and unfortunately, though, politicians does lead to policy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring it all the way back to here in Erie County, New York. We have taken our eyes off the ball of Mark Poloncarz, right? We haven't been paying attention, I don't think, to Mark. And Mark is somebody who we have to get out of the Erie County Executive's Office. So I wanted to do a little plea for everyone who can vote in Erie County, Chrissy Casilio. Casilio for countyexecutive.com. Let's not forget about Chrissy and her brave efforts to try to unseat Mark Poloncarz.
Yeah, I would agree. New York needs better leadership, Erie County, that is, and New York State as a whole. We need to find leaders that actually care about us and stop, again, putting people in there to enrich themselves. Mark Poloncarz showed it. He was allowing Gail Burstein to just make extra money during COVID, right? Let's not forget that. Let's also not forget that when he wanted to play with his mates, he was allowed to, but the rest of us were not. He, threatened to shoot a process server. There's a few things that Mark Poloncarz has done over the last 4 years, Mike, that are not good. We need better leadership. We need people that actually give a shit about New Yorkers and Western New Yorkers.
Yeah, we need Chrissy Casilio. So we'll end on that note. Go Chrissy Casilio, Casilio for countyexecutive.com to support her. And yeah, we definitely need her. We need to slow down that liberal freight train. It seems to always be coming right at us. And it seems like it's catching up, Mike. It's getting faster and faster and faster. And they're using our resources, right?
Yeah.
The people who actually make money and provide and actually perform services, sell products, that's who they come after.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing. They're taking our tax dollars and just being so frivolous with it. So, I don't know, so inattentive to all of us here. They're letting people come into our communities. They're using even more of our resources. They're bringing more dangerous people, letting more dangerous people into our communities. We have to get Mark Poloncarz out. So we'll leave on that note.
Yep.
That'll do it, folks. For Mike Speraza, I'm Mike Hayflick. Please come back next week. Remember, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday podcasts, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:15 to 8:30. Morning mics, 5 hot topics, 3 minutes each every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Find all of that on financialguysmedia.com. Thanks for joining us.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.